Hello, my little Poochies. It's your Donnie Ray from the Poochie Crunch Podcast. Just wanted to say thank you so much for checking us out. We're very excited and we'll see you soon.
Hi, Poochies. This is Johnny Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us on this new podcast. Poochie Crunch Podcast can be found on all podcast platforms, as well as Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Let's go have fun. Hey, watch your language. Just so you know, we got a little raunchy and we curse like sailors.
You and me together, we could be anything.
All this technical chat.
I know, I can't even take it.
All right, let's see.
Just trying to figure out the microphone, it made you have to go to the bathroom.
I know. Okay, ding dong, the witch is dead because the witch is here, bitch.
Don't ding and don't zong. I mean, they know you. You're much more famous than I am.
Oh,
You're famous all over the world, honey. Please.
Oh, stop being your lips so, to God's ears.
Stop being so demure. You're so...
Honey, bashful is something. I can't spell it, but I'm not it. Okay? That's
honey, you're so modest, honey. Don't be so modest. Sister. Sister,
oh my God, so
just
should
admit
we
it.
You're with
popular.
Like where we met... obviously,
yeah,
are
let's
we
tell,
being honest
let's
about our
tell,
age?
Let's tell the entire story.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Same. Let's tell the entire story. Let's talk. First of all, I want to shout out your sweater because it's fucking gorgeous.
Thank you. This is
I fucking love it.
A company here in the Netherlands called CNA. It's actually a woman's sweater, and I got it today for 15 euros. It's big.
I absolutely love it.
Thank you. It's
so
like a
much.
Big
it,
hug.
It feels so cozy.
And you should see like, what it does to my green eyes, bitch.
Oh, I can only imagine. Ooh. Sister.
Well, I bought it specifically for you guys to view, so if the viewers like it.
I decided to go a little bit toned down. I want it to be a little bit more demure. So,
well, bitch knows she loves her patterns, y'all. Just so you know, straight out the gate. This one will come with every pattern of every stratosphere and make it work. Because that's what she does.
I went with a sequin number. It's only silver. It's only silver sequins. And, you know, it's in a pattern, so it's a little bit more on the conservative sequin side, if you will.
I think it's extremely important that you embrace where you are. And this is from where I'm at, the Netherlands, where it's cold. Like, you're giving us Florida. I'm tan all year, bitch, and I can wear patterns.
All
I
don't year.
Like a dead white cracker like I would wear in that. Okay.
This is me. This is me every day.
I know. Titties out. Fan popping. Got it.
Titties out. Vagina out. Legs spread. Tanning every crevice.
Always.
Every crevasse.
Every orifice, darling. Every orifice.
Okay, so let's tell everybody, you're in Amsterdam. You just moved there in July, right?
Correct. I just got here July 10th. I'm actually about 20 minutes outside of Amsterdam in a beautiful little village called Hilversum.
Okay.
So Amsterdam is about a 20-minute commute for me, for my Americans and are also New Yorkers. It's kind of like Brooklyn to Manhattan. It's that easy of a
wonderful. Super easy.
So I got here
on the
in
train,
July.
On a fast train.
Yeah, like, well, there's two different trains. It's so funny because there's the inner city and the sprinter, and you would think the sprinter would be the fast train, but the inner city is actually the fast train. But the Dutch are so efficient. To my Dutchies watching, I love you. I'm so grateful to be here.
Hi, Dutchies!
Hi, Dutchies!
Can't wait to come and visit.
We love you. We love you. Thank you for taking this faggot over here, honey. Thank you for getting me there.
All right, tell everybody where you're from and like how you started, what you do. It is a full podcast. We'll split it up into parts.
Perfect. Okay, so let's see. You're Donnie Ray. Let's give you a little background information as far as him. I was born and raised in Effingham, South Carolina. Ridiculously poor in a mobile home. And yes, I clawed my way to the top to get out of that mobile home, honey, which is why I'm sitting here in Europe. I enlisted in the Marine Corps at 17 years old. Actually, I enlisted at 16, believe it or not. You can actually sign up at 16 years old. And I went to boot camp at 17, did my time there. We'll deep dive a little bit more into what transitioned with me in the military. Mm-hmm. Did my time. Knew since I was 6 years old that I was going to do high fashion hair and makeup from watching. Do you remember that show House of Style with Cindy Crawford?
No, I didn't watch that.
What? You're gay ass. Well, you were still probably Bible thumping back then.
I'm too young. Oh. Ooh, sorry. Oh. Sorry. Sorry. I hit my microphone. Sorry.
That's karma for you lying. That is karma for you lying right there.
If you guys didn't catch that, I said I'm too young.
And the lies begin.
And it begins.
We promise this is a very truthful podcast. We promise you it's a very truthful
We're gonna be not just truthful, but very, very straightforward most of the time.
I knew since I was little that I was
so House of Fashion, yeah.
House of Fashion, House of Style, I believe. House of Style with Cindy Crawford, and on there was this incredible stylist, which I believe you will know this name, Orbe. Yeah, Orbe was the styler. He did the hair for all like the session styles that they did, and I remember watching it in my mobile home. In South Carolina, eating a can of Spam, poor as shit. And this guy comes on who's gorgeous. I believe he was Cuban, covered in tattoos, fashion on fucking point. And I remember being like, that's me. I'm going to be the white cracker version of that. That's what I'm going to do. And so fast track, got out of the military. I met my first partner, which I don't know if we're going to say names or not, but you know who he is. Sweet, wonderful, loving guy. And then I moved to Connecticut, and that's where I met my beautiful brown mocha latte sister, Miss Mango Booty herself, Johnny Cruz. When I worked at my first salon, and you were, I believe, the front desk manager at that point, right? Yeah, front desk manager, but this bitch curated the whole space, let me tell you. Every decor, everything was done by Johnny, and it was fantastic. But I was a baby gay. Like, I had just got out of a marriage. I had went through a child loss. My son had passed away. Went through the military. And then finally landed in Norwalk, Connecticut. And didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. And even how anything worked in the gay community. Or how relationships worked. Or because I'd been with women for my whole life. And Johnny was kind of like my therapist in a way, also like my light shower of the lighthouse, being like, this is how you exist in the homosexual world. And I was
you
like,
talk about it like I'm some kind of guru or something.
And I went to hair school there and got my basic training, go back to military references. I got my license, yada, yada, yada. We can get all into the critiques or the nuances of how I made it to New York City. But essentially, that's where we met and fell in love. And you literally took me under your wing and was like, okay, these are the bitches you don't talk to. This is the bitches you don't fuck with. Because, I literally smelled like breast milk. I was so young.
Right off the tit.
Right off the right tit, off the honey. Tit. It was still dripping down here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Right there. Yes,
I had to take. I had to take out my bandana and the bandana that I always carry with me. There, you will always find me with a bandana yeah. In my pocket because why? I'm a sweater. So. Yes.
And you're a giver.
I always have to look.
Yeah. He's always got a bandana and a fan. So if you guys ever see him mm-hmm. out at any festivals or any pride marches or anything like that, if you need That's a bandana me. Or a fan, this is the Tita yep. that you want to
call. If you need me to cool you off, that's what I'm there for. I'll jab your forehead and I'll cool you off.
Or heat you
for up. A price. For a price.
He can heat you up and cool you down all at once, baby. You don't even know how that feels, Hunter. And just to answer all you guys' questions before you even ask, no, we've never had sex.
Never.
Never.
Never. However, tell them.
We did. Who make was out it that once. Like made us make out? Was it like a rando at the bar?
No. It was just us. It was just us. We were just talking about it. Like everybody kept asking us, have you guys ever hooked up? Have you guys ever hooked up? And we're like, no, we've never hooked up. And nobody believed us. So after so many years of being asked the same thing, we were at this bar on Christopher Street all the way west. I think it was called Rock Bar.
You are correct. It was all the way on the west right? highway.
All the way over. Like you could right. see the water. And so it was Rock Bar. It was like this dive bar. We loved it. We went in there. We were hanging
sketchy
out.
As fuck.
And
let's preface that. Sketchy as fuck, but fabulous.
Honey, sketchy, 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 sketchy. Like mm-hmm. carry a weapon, carry a concealed weapon.
Yeah, like but you throw your shoes away after you leave because they're so dirty.
Yeah. But once you get into the bar, it was wonderful. It was cute. It was a cute little spot. But we were drinking and talking and we were like, everybody thinks that we're together. We should probably just make out and see what happens. And so it was like in the movies. We were like, okay, all right, are you ready? Are you ready? And so we were like, wah, 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 wah. And then I don't know who said it first, but one of us said, anything for you? No. Mm-mm. Nothing for me either.
Yep. I mean, the lips were great, the kiss was great, but I was like, there was no
the kiss was amazing.
Yeah, there was no like
like we concluded that we are both very good kissers.
Correct.
But there wasn't, you know, that we it was a sign that we were just sisters.
Right. It was definitely not like a Hollywood fucking rom-com where you're sitting at the bar and all of a sudden like the dancers come out and everything's sparkling and they're like, oh my God, it's been here all along. No, we're like, bitch, we need another shot of
tequila. Where have you been?
Tequila.
Oh, shit. Exactly. We need
if
another
you're gonna
drink.
Have those titties out, I'm gonna need Bra that tenza. Microphone like stuck to you. Because you keep like throwing your titties around and knocking your mic.
I keep.
Do you see what I have to deal with? I mean, it's the titties every time. The titties are everywhere. I mean, they're fabulous.
Listen.
They're like beautiful milk duds because they're so chocolatey.
You're lucky I'm not completely shirtless.
Hey, I mean, that's I'm sure our viewers would not mind that. So just saying, it's a beautiful, beautiful portrait. But yes, so we had like our kiss moment and like pulled away mm-hmm. and it was like, all right, well, we did that. So now let's just continue yep. on with our beautiful friendship. And it never went anything past that ever. So before you guys yep. even get to the comments and even start asking, because we've had this our whole friendship, no, we've never slept. Yep. And not even in the same room together, nothing.
No, you can ask us anything. Like we've seen each other naked.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
like. We changed in front of each other. We've slept together in the same bed, mm-hmm. but not in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was a go-go boy, so me getting naked is not a fucking problem. Never has been.
Yeah, exactly.
This day. So
exactly, and I love being naked. Period. So
yeah, if you guys ever want to see anything, get to his backyard, look over that fence, girl. I'm telling you, it's a show.
I'll invite you in. I'll invite you to the backyard. It's fine. I have extra chairs.
I mean, I don't call him Mango Booty for nothing. It's like a title of Mango Booty.
Oh my God.
So anyway, let's stay on point here. So, and that just began like our lifelong, I mean, family. I mean, you're not even a friend. Like, you're my sister, like, for God's sake.
You know? Yeah.
And then I, you know, we've had so many different lives, both of us, that, like, you know, I eventually, you moved to Manhattan first. Yeah, you moved there first. And then I came after you. And then, so we kind of had like our time in Connecticut together, where I was just figuring out my footing. I didn't know fucking Prada from Payless, honey. I mean, I didn't know fashion. I didn't know art. I didn't know music or wine. So
yeah,
I
but that's a- where you developed your like knack, like incredible superpower for thrifting.
Yes.
So
yes, and I still carry that with me.
Maybe you didn't know it then, but you developed something really beautiful. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, I took those years because you had already been in Connecticut and you were already, you know, you were, well, we came from very different backgrounds, similar, I think, but also very different. So for me, it's like I spent a couple more years kind of cultivating who I was, learning who I was, designing basically who I wanted to become as a human being. Because, you know, where I grew up, that wasn't even an opportunity. It was, you know, church, Walmart, Dollar General, home. Like, that was your circumference of your existence. So you went to New York first, and then when I went through the breakup, I was like, well, why the fuck am I in suburbia as a 20, what was that, like 20, maybe 3-year-old gay guy then? And you were in the city, and I was like, I gotta get closer to my sister. Bye. Peace and hair grease. I'm out. See y'all later. And then we had all of our time in New York City together as well, so... That's basically, this is a very short version because obviously we could sit here and talk about our journey
on
multiple podcasts.
So. And we will. We'll pick up on things from the past as the podcast evolves. But
he was my lighthouse.
We just want
Johnny was my lighthouse. He was my guiding light. He was the one who kind of kept me, you know, never down a straight and narrow, honey, because there ain't nothing straight or narrow. About me.
Nor narrow.
Or us. Mm-hmm. No, ma'am. But you help guide me and be like, you don't really want to fuck with those bitches. Like, don't let what people say hurt your feelings. Like, because I was very heavily inked back in the day before it became cool to be gay and tattooed. And I know you remember that I would have people would be like, oh, you're so covered in tattoos. Like, but you look like, and I was like, what the fuck? Yep. Like, one tattoo costs what you bitches make a month.
Exactly.
And you were the one that was like, honey, they don't even know what's up yet. Don't even worry about it. And literally when I got to Manhattan and all that kind of stuff dissipated and I kind of really started I mean, I'm still stepping into myself every day. But to give the props to my sister, like Johnny was the one who kind of made it easy for me to slide into who I was becoming and not feeling ever judged or... unnerved about situations. Like me and you would literally walk into the bar. No one would be on the dance floor, guys. No one would be on the dance floor. Because you know the gays, honey. They got to get fucking 20 shots of tequila before they start shaking their pussy.
Yep.
Not me and this bitch. We needed 2 shots and a dance floor. And that was fucking it.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
That was it, honey. We would be out there.
We were ready to go get on the dance floor before we even walked into the spot.
Oh, girl. We came out of our mother's vaginas dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Like sachet, honey, sachet out the pussy.
Yep,
we were doing.
That's it. That's it.
So that is my side of our beautiful shiny coin. Why don't you give us a little bit about you, Johnny?
Okay, so I was born in Manila in the Philippines, and my parents moved us here when I was 4 years old. It was my parents. Me and my sister. And we lived in Manhattan for a few years. And then my parents bought a house and we moved to the suburbs about 20 minutes north of New York City in this suburb called Rockland County. And so
I never knew you lived in Rockland County. In my mind, it was a Westchester. Yeah. I was thinking Rockland.
Yeah.
Westchester.
Well, they're right there, you know. They're right next to each other. But everybody hears about Westchester, and not a lot of people hear Rockland County.
All right. Shout out to Rockland County, bitches. Get up in the comments.
Shout out to Rockland.
I love it.
It's a cute little place. But at the time when I was in middle school, when we moved out there, I was one of literally a handful. You can count on one hand how many brown families were there. I'm not even sure if there were any black families. Maybe there were definitely more black families than there were brown families, but I think I knew only one other Filipino family. That's how whitewashed that suburb was.
Mm-hmm. So, they just couldn't handle that melanated magic, honey. They couldn't handle it.
They couldn't. No, they could not. And, you know, like I talk about this on my other podcast, how I grew up.
Which, if you guys don't know, Johnny, give it a plug. Let's know what your other podcast is, baby.
So my other podcast is just me, and I will ultimately bring guests on. I'll have Donnie on, of course, and other people, but it's called Ugly Brown Boy. And I won't get into it now, but I explained it on my podcast. I will tell you really quickly that because I was not American, not white, moving here from the Philippines, growing up in an all-white community, I felt ugly. So that's where the ugly and ugly brown boy comes from. And
which, when you guys see the picture of him as a kid, that bitch was far from ugly. He was the cutest little delicious nugget of joy. Oh, delicious. So fucking cute. So cute. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's such an embarrassing picture, but like I don't care. Like I don't get embarrassed about shit.
Girl,
like
first
that
of all,
anymore.
That it's haircut, like, okay, is everything. That haircut in that fucking picture. By the way, if there's anybody,
the bangs?
Any followers, any viewers,
don't talk to me about the bangs.
That haircut, I've been dying to do that haircut on someone, so you let me know and I'll give it to you, okay?
You couldn't touch my bangs, honey. Don't.
Mm-mm. Thank God that you didn't know Botox back then, honey, because you would not be able to hide that. No, ma'am.
Oh, but the acne that I had from the bangs, like, I eventually got acne. It wasn't so much. I got a few pimples on my face, but everything was on my forehead. And, you know, well, but I grew out of that. But we lived in Rockland County. I went to high school there. Similar experiences growing up because.
And now, just to clarify for the viewers, you already spoke English,
yes,
or did you learn English?
Yes. Yes, I already spoke English.
Okay.
Because English is. It's like a very close second to Tagalog from the Philippines. So there's Tagalog, and then really the next most spoken language is English.
But you learned Tagalog first.
I was spoken to in Tagalog first. So, but I was 4 years old. So, like the little bit of vocabulary that I had at the time was Tagalog, and my parents at home always spoke to me in Tagalog.
Okay.
But 4 years old and then going to kindergarten and starting school, I was basically raised speaking English, you know, I started with Tagalog as a toddler and then learned English. But I never spoke Tagalog when I was younger because when I did, people would make fun of my American accent speaking Tagalog. So I was like, fuck you. Like, I don't want to get laughed at if I'm trying to speak a new language. So for the longest time, I refused to speak my language, but I understood everything because my parents always spoke to me in Tagalog at home.
Right.
But then I was like, I need my identity. Language is a marker of your identity, you know? So like, if you're not white, then in my opinion, language is a very, very important marker of identity and claiming who you are. So I wanted to reclaim my identity when I was in, like, after high school. Like, I made it a point to become fluent in my language.
Right.
So, yeah.
Props to that, because anyone who's ever tried to speak, because me and Johnny went, actually, I had the pleasure of going to him back to the motherland, to Manila.
Mm-hmm. So much
fun. Let me tell you something, honey. I couldn't even learn how to say hello or goodbye. Okay, so for the fact, and you guys will get into it and understand, like, me and him have traveled the world together and also independently.
The world.
And every country I've gone to, I can at least say, please, thank you, hello. Even when we went to Manila, Johnny was like, girl, don't try it. It's okay. Don't try it.
I was just like, I got, like, you.
Ooh, this
I got
little trailer you. Park cracker trying to say something. I ain't even trying. I was just nodding and being like, yes, yeah. Thank you.
That was so such a big trip. Props, oh my God.
Like, embracing that language in the latter portion of high school.
Thank you.
I mean, that's such a big accomplishment. And for you to step into and embrace your own heritage, even though it's a visible part of who you are, to have that at the ending of high school, which we all know how complex high school is and figuring out who you are. And then you also know in your sexuality and all that. I mean,
that's, oh my God.
It's a fucking stratosphere. I'm sweating thinking about you in high school right now.
Right. That's where I discovered my sexuality, you know, and my family was born again Christian. I'm technically born again Christian. So back then I had all these feelings, but then I had the church bombarding me with homosexuality is bad. You're going to go to hell, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be a good Christian and I want God to love me. So, like, I was in the closet. I was out of the closet. I was in, I was out. And then finally I was like, fuck this. Like, I can't do this anymore.
That's fucking, I can't do. You did the hokey pokey dance for a while. You like, you put your gay foot in, you put your gay foot out, you put your straight foot in, you put your straight foot out.
And then I twirled and twirled all about.
And then he started twerking and he was like, bitch, this is
you twerking all about. And all this time, all I wanted to do was do the pokey pokey.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't want to do the hokey pokey. You want to do the pokey pokey.
I wanted to do the pokey pokey.
Meanwhile, his ass was indoctrinated probably mainly by your family. I became born again at 14 to try to be straight. So again, that's another linear line of our journey shared decades before we even met each other.
Yeah. And you,
I mean,
got
not to say
married.
That we're trauma bonded, but I mean, we're kind of trauma bonded.
but honestly we are.
Anybody in this society today is fucking trauma bonded.
Like, if we don't say it ourselves, somebody out there in the world is going to say that we're trauma bonded.
Yeah, someone in the comments is going to say it. We were just saving you guys a couple of your keyboard warriors for typing in. We're already letting you know we're trauma bonded. And we embrace it and we love it.
Yeah.
And we'll get a trauma bonded tattoo at some point when this bitch goes over to Amsterdam.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, I had girlfriends. You had a wife, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I sure did. And a child. Like, there were definitely so many parallels of our lives, and there were so many things about you and I and our relationship that had so much in common. Like, you being born in a trailer park in South Carolina and me being born in, you know, the lower middle class in the Philippines. There were just so many things in common. And then, like, remember as we started to grow together and know more about ourselves, like, Southern cooking is so much closer to Filipino food than any other
cuisine
that I can think of.
It's, you know, to, it's so the, like, hospitality. Everything. It's the same thing. When we were in the Philippines, I was like, this is basically like, I mean, it is Southeast Asia, but it was like literally like, like I felt like I was in the South, but I just didn't know anybody was saying. Like it completely. Was very, and I think that also came across as us both, where like, we both have like servant hearts, to where like we want to take care of people. We want to help people. We want to love people. We want to love on people. And I think, again, going back to what you were saying, like two completely different souls that came from a very disjointed, different background, found it, and our frequency and our vibration was like, boop, that's it. We're good. This is, we're vibing.
Oh
on
my
this.
God, and there you are.
Even I'm just the main
there
thing
you
is
are.
I'm jealous because I'm like the non-melanated one. So, you know, there's that. There's that hate that I do have a little bit. I'm not lying.
But let's go back to the fact that you're the more famous one. So, so there's that.
Well, let's just say I came a long way from that trailer park, honey. I said, but when I was growing up, I was like, I was born poor. I will not die poor. Okay. And if you guys want to hit my GoFundMe, it's down at the bottom of the screen. I'm just kidding.
We'll make one. Oh my God. But okay, so I was in and out of the closet, and then finally I graduated high school and I was like, fuck this. And you can ask all of my high school friends, like, I made it a point to disappear from the face of the earth because I was so conflicted with myself. Like, I didn't want my past to come and find me. Like, I just became a loner and started over, you know? So I lived in New York City for a little while, and then I went to the Philippines to go study. I went to college there, to the University of the Philippines in Diliman. And I was there for a year and a half. And aside from the sexuality versus Christianity coin, I also had the creative versus academic coin that I was battling at the same time, because my parents wanted me to be an academic, and I am pure creative. Like,
absolutely, 1,000%.
I can't even tell you. I won't go into the stereotypes, but except to say that I'm a pure creative. Like, I can't pick up a book. The idea of going back to school scares the shit out of me. I've tried to consider going back to school, and it scares the shit out of me. But everything that I am now is because I decided to stay creative. And so when I was in New York, I started auditioning for Broadway and television and movies. I got an agent and I tried to do all of that. My brother and I started a record company, a record label.
Donnie
was part of
Mocha Boy.
Mocha Boy, yeah.
Yeah,
Mocha,
yeah.
Boy, Mocha Boy Music. And so Donnie was part of my, like, my performance, blah, blah, blah. He was the one that introduced me backstage, on the microphone for all my shows.
Yeah, I was the MC.
He was the MC.
And let's not I love how he always does this shit. He always does this shit. He's like, you know, yeah, Donnie would just like welcome me in. Like, meanwhile, he's not telling you how fucking phenomenal his voice is. Okay, guys, like, I'm going to poke the bear this whole season of our episodes until this motherfucker sings for you. Because let me tell you, like, Sabrina Carpenter's new song, My Thighs Are Crying, or whatever how she says, like, literally it makes you wet. Okay, so let's not just skip over that, Johnny. I was also emceeing him, walking him onto a stage because his vocals were catastrophic.
Thank you.
And you know, my country ass was like, thank you. Here comes Johnny Cruz on the next stage.
Which is exactly why I want
applause for Johnny Krebs.
That's exactly why I wanted you to do it, because I'm sure when you got on the mic, everybody was like, what the
They were like, are we watching Hee Haw? Are we watching a Filipino singer singing R&B? Which one is it? Because I'm very, very confused by this.
Yeah.
But he also knew my ass was not afraid of a microphone. So I was like, all right, tell me what you want me to say.
At all.
But this time, keep going, I just heard it. He always jumps over his vocal ability. And guys, I'm telling you, it's just
Thank
not
you. Fair. Thanks,
but it's going to be happening. We're going to bring up some old tracks too.
I will. I'll put old tracks on. There's a website that's been sitting in the webosphere, in the interwebs for years and years and years, and it's johnnycruz.com. So it's johnnycruz.com. And there are links to performances on there. I have not visited that webpage in a long time.
Oh, so it still exists. I didn't know that.
It still exists.
Because it's I've been out at dinners before talking about this hooker and wanted to try to pull him up on iTunes because I'm bragging about him being like, girls, you don't even know this motherfucker's pipes. And I'm drunk out of my head, like on the phone trying to find out iTunes. So this is really good to know for our viewers to actually get that. Let's get that rocking and rolling so they can check you out and see like that. I'm not lying because I don't lie.
Yeah, it's not. He's not lying. And thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate you very much. But I'm not on iTunes. I never tried to get on iTunes, although my other podcast, I use one of my best songs as my intro and my outro. And that one is...
You and me together, we could be